I wonder, good morning everyone, good to see you. I wonder if I was to ask what would be one of the biggest lies that you've ever been told in your life, and then you found out it was a lie, how did that make you feel? There's probably one lie that we've all been told in our life, isn't it? Only one, like, and not New South Wales is going to win, that's a lie in itself, and we... Sorry to Joe and Jack, who joined Debbie in being New South Wales supporters. Yeah, but Jack does, and Debbie does. Sorry, Jack. Sorry to Colonel as well. Yes. Yeah. Let's just pause right now. Father God, I want to pray right now for Craig's mum, who has not been well this last week, but we don't know what is happening right now. We ask for your intervention in that space. We ask for your hand to be upon the nurses, grant them, and the doctors, grant them wisdom, grant them clarity, grant your spirit of peace upon the family at this time. Lord, for travelling mercies for Craig as he goes down there later today, I'm sure. Be close to him, be close to his sisters as well too. And Lord, we ask that whatever the outcome that comes of this, Lord, that we would be able to look back and say that God was evident every step of the way. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen. So what do you think might be the one greatest... Craig, be assured, I'm continuing to pray for your mum throughout today's message. It will be on my mind, I'm sure. What do you think the one greatest prayer lie is that we've all been told? We've told it to our kids as well. It's this lie that says, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Ever been told that? Ever said that? The reality is, it's just not true. Words do hurt. Words do have power. Have you ever heard someone say, oh, don't hang around with them, they've got baggage? Or, you don't want to be in a relationship with them because they bring a lot of baggage to the table? Has anyone ever said that? I wonder. Georgia, can you turn the PowerPoint on, please? Oh. They've got baggage. Steer clear of them. They've got a whole bunch of baggage. This morning, I want to look at this passage of Scripture and maybe look at the fact that baggage can mean that we can live free and travel light. Here we go. What does baggage look like? Well, it looks like this. But that's not what we're talking about today. The baggage we're talking about today might come in the form of resentments and guilt. Have you ever thought, I wish I didn't, or I kind of wish that that hadn't happened? Have you ever thought, there's that whole thing of, don't do that, mum will be upset. It's not a good enough reason not to do it. I used to weigh it up whether it was worth the smack. The guilt wasn't there. I'm not the only one, come on. We all weighed up whether it was worth the smack to do stuff when we were kids. Maybe we've been hurt. Maybe those words did pierce us when people said things to us. Actually, people that we valued said things to us, and they're still ringing around in there. Maybe there's a different kind of baggage, like hang-ups and habits that become super comfortable in what we do. Maybe there's secrets, things we don't want other people to know. Maybe there's shame. Maybe there's fear. Maybe I don't want to tell everybody that I'm actually scared of what tomorrow might hold. Maybe there's betrayal. We trusted somebody so much. Who's ever done the groceries and has to do it in one trip? Anyone else in this room does that? Yeah, like a boss. I will break my arm versus going back for a second trip. So here we go. And we get all these things in our hands and we try to use the remote and it doesn't work. Jealousy is another one that can sometimes create baggage for us. We want to be better than the next person. We want to be stronger, wiser. There's a guy in this room today who's 11 who wants to be taller than his mum. He's got 1 inch to go. He measures every single day. Sorry, Deb. It's just how it plays out. Maybe there's a whole bunch of guilt as well. Maybe there's just that one extra bag that we don't want to tell anybody about. And we go to pick it up. And it's kind of a bit awkward and a bit... And we go through life trying to run the race that God gives to us with all this stuff. How can we live through life with all the baggage that may be there and live out those words that Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest? Well, this is okay now. I'm going great. I've held it for 2 minutes. How about in an hour when there's morning tea? I'm not having morning tea today. My hands are full. Everyone else says, hallelujah, there's more for me. But we get gifts given to us. Next weekend is Pentecost. God wants to give to us the gift of His Holy Spirit. And our hands are so full, carrying on with things from other people that maybe we've been carrying for many, many, many years. And maybe we just need to be having an opportunity to say, God, you promised to take it. You promised to help me carry the load. So I'm taking you at your word. I'm taking you at your word today. We need to check the baggage. Who's ever been to the airport in recent days and they weigh your carry-on luggage? It's because people walk up pretending like it doesn't weigh 15 kilos. And they try to get it on the plane, right? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And the next promise is that He will give us rest. It gets tiresome, doesn't it? Carrying things that actually we're not meant to carry. It'll be okay to have to walk from here to Lovett's or even to the spa with a bag, 5 bags, well, it'd get a bit awkward. Having to walk to Boona, you'd be trying to dump things off, wouldn't you? We're in the race of life that doesn't just go for 100 metres or 300 metres or 10 kilometres. This is a year's long journey. And yet we just hold on to this stuff because we think that it's important. And some of it is. There's other baggage that we have that is great. It tells us, we put it in our travel pack because we need to be able to pack in there and unpack when we need them, the promises of God. We could all share promises of God that we hold on to when our dark moments come. When you go camping, for those that camp, you always, except if you're me, take a torch. Went to youth councils, 2 years out of two, borrowed a torch of Corey. Thanks, Corey. Although I brought one this year, mate, that thing could light up the night. It is so bright. It's called the Crazy Bright Light. I need to know how crazy bright that was. It's crazy bright. Burnt retinas, all those things. But we too often, don't we, hold on to our checked baggage. Once we put it and give it over, we think, but this is mine. Yeah, I know I said I'll give it to you, God, but this is mine. I don't know what life looks like without this. It can be painful to give up things that we want. This morning, I want you to encourage you to rest in relationship, not religion. If you're looking for me at 7 p.m. this Wednesday night and every Wednesday night until the end of State of Origin, you will find me religiously in front of a TV. Every Friday night, the same. Every time there's an opportunity to watch football, I will be watching football, guaranteed. That's religion. Going through the motions just because you're going through the motions. I would much prefer my life within society to be impacted by my relationship with Jesus. His love for me and my love as an outpouring of that love for me towards others. Let's rest in the relationship. Jesus says that when we come to Him, He will give us rest. There's nothing that we can do to get the rest which He wants to give to us as a gift. Carry the yoke. Who understands the term yoke? It's that old oxen thing. It is also, they talk about the yoke of Shammai and the yoke of the rabbi teachers of the day. And so when it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's talking about the teaching, which he says, what does carrying the yoke look like? What did the disciples do when they were following the rabbi's yoke? They memorized his words. Are there certain passages of Scripture that you hold on to in those dark moments that are a flicker of hope for you? How about the words that he says about you, that you are valued, that you are worthy, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Or are we believing the things that the world tells us that we carry around and allow to be a constant narrative for us? They adopted his interpretation of Scripture, is the second thing that they did. They imitated his ministry style, followed in his footsteps. We think that it's easiest to handle our own baggage. Sometimes the easiest way to do that is we shift it onto other people. And we say, hey, can you carry this for a bit? It's not what Jesus says at all. He says, come to me. Bring it to me. Don't give it to the next person. Don't say, here, hold it for a minute. He says, give it to me. All we do when we shift our baggage onto someone else is it gives us a free hand to pick up some more. And all it does is gives us an opportunity to pick up some more. There are times, and I'm sure that for those that multiple hands that went up across the room today, when you're picking up the shopping, there is no possible way for you to pick up even one more bag when you go inside. But we try. Don't we? I'm not going back for a second trip, so I will break my forearms to get that food inside or whatever it might be. Debbie laughs at me every week. She thinks I'm crazy. Well, I don't think she needs the shopping analogy to tell her that. But I'm just out and out crazy. But I do. I will absolutely take it one time inside. And if there's one extra bag, I'll get it. Because I want... And what I'm doing in carrying all the bags What did Jesus do regularly? If we're going to imitate his ministry model, he regularly took time aside to spend time with the Father. He checked in with the Father. He used that prayer of examine. He used it, well, it's been developed into the prayer of examine, but he used that space where he could say, even in the garden, he said, if this is not your will, take this cup from me. He was assessing his life to make sure that he was always in line with what God had for him. They multiplied his teaching in having disciples of their own is the fourth way that they followed the rabbi's yoke. So for us this morning, do we have baggage that we need to check in? Next weekend, we have Pentecost Sunday. I would hope that every day is a day that we can experience God's Spirit moving in our lives. But next weekend, we celebrate that gift of His Spirit being given to us. Another opportunity to celebrate God's faithfulness, where He promises something, He comes through with it. He says, I will send a helper. Then goes to heaven, and the helper comes. So what does your baggage look like? Are you like me, where you carry it all inside? Once? Do you ever let it go? Do you borrow other people's baggage? Do you hold it? And actually, I don't recognize myself without this piece. This baggage has almost become part of me. I don't know what it looks like. Which one of those might be for you? It might be something totally else. It might be something like other people's expectations of us. I want them to like me. I just want to be loved. So I will want them to like me so that that can happen. I'm desperate to be accepted. Well, Jesus says, come to me. Don't go anywhere else. Come to me. There might be baggage that we've held on to for a long, long time. Jesus says that we are to come to Him, for He gives us rest. So often, part of this baggage, we don't see that it actually stops and we start. It's become very much who we are. It's part of who we are. And so we don't see that there's any problems that we need to sort out there. There's nothing that is weighing us down. We're just happy for that. That's just normal. We can't live in freedom. We can't let go and live free if we are so often, because we're so often weighed down by these bags. We're so often weighed down by things that we say, oh, you look after this. You look after this. But I just need it back for a bit. It seems silly to ask God to carry something for us and then carry it ourselves. But we do it. We do it so often. We're not just talking about negative baggage. There are those promises that we believe, those promises that we hold on to. I reckon some of them are shoved right deep down in the bottom of our bag. They don't come out. You ever been in a teenager's house where they've left their lunchbox in their bag over the Christmas break? And then you have to ring Scott Weber to bring the hazmat suit to get that lunchbox and take it outside? Has that ever happened at your house? Okay, I did it. When I was a kid, oh man. the odor out of that. You don't want our sustenance and our food to be so stale and off because we're not getting refreshed each and every day. Each and every day, we need to be using Scripture as our daily bread. When they say in Scripture, give us today our daily bread, give us today everything that we need. We're not asking you to give me everything that I need for tomorrow or for a week's time, just today. For us to be able to receive something, we have to let other things go. So this next week, what are we going to let go so that we can pick up the gift that is God's Holy Spirit to walk each day with us? Maybe you're not like me at all and you don't have bags that you're holding on to. Maybe your arms aren't sore like mine. Maybe you haven't got tired. I think if we're really honest though, we all have at least one. Maybe five. I was trying to use an analogy this morning and I didn't have enough bags to represent all the things that I probably try to carry every day. And we, if you see kids who use these sort of backpacks when they're overfull, have you seen how they walk when they're overfull to school? Maybe that's their their excitement about going to education facilities. And sorry for all the teachers in the room, but there's that. That sense in which it weighs you down. It weighs you down. For some, it actually creates a divot there because it weighs them down so much. What do you need to let go of today? Because there are things I have to let go of. What do you need to let go of? Somebody said something to me a long time ago and it still rings around in my head. You're too young. Now, I'm older now, but I vowed and declared I would never say that to another young person for the rest of my days. You're too young to contribute. You're not good enough. They may as well have said, you don't matter. Because that's what I heard. They may not have said those exact words, but that's what I heard. And if I continue to get my identity in the words and the actions of people around me, they're going to come from a place of brokenness because people are broken. But if I want to get words that are life-giving and life-fulfilling, I listen to the words of Jesus who says, "You are my child. You are chosen, not forsaken. You're worthy. You are of value. I created you. You are of value and worth not because of who you are, but whose you are. You are mine." Sometimes the noise from all the other voices, though, that we've heard over time and the words that we've heard over time drown out what God has to say to us. This morning, let us not be distracted. Let us not be distracted by the words that have been said over us in the past, but allow God's voice to pierce our hearts. in these days ahead? What does your baggage look like? Any of those things? Maybe something else entirely. This morning, friends, I want us to leave it here and allow ourselves to live free and travel light. I'm leaving it here in a mess because sometimes baggage is messy. Addressing baggage is messy. And messy is okay. Messy is totally okay. What we can't do and what we mustn't do is bring it to Jesus and take it home with us. If we're saying, "Can you carry it?" Don't carry it ourselves. How often do we let the strong ones carry stuff for us to get us through? Nobody's stronger than Jesus himself, who says, "Come to me. Come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, and I, Jesus, will give you rest."